I trust you are as blessed as I am in this worship service. Just wonderful, Joey. Thank you for the song selections and everything. Just thank you. We don't give them titles of messages before, typically, but these songs hit every spot. And I'm thankful for the prayer for Israel this morning. I believe it's important. But as much as we pray for Israel, we need to pray for our own nation that they get it right with Israel. Because we're in a very precarious spot in this nation. And when we see all the things that are happening, it wouldn't take much for us, real honestly. It wouldn't take much at all for us to be in the very throes of the very last days, looking at an Antichrist kingdom ready to be unveiled because of the events that are happening. I watched some of the news. I didn't know about that attack until later on, and I stayed up quite late last night just hearing some of the things, and to hear how there's a cooperation between so many, and then they had an ex-Iranian journalist talk, and he talked about how he said Iran sets up other people constantly to do little skirmishes, but it's all meant just to keep everything off balance so that nobody ever feels like they get traction. And when you hear it from their standpoint, see, I, being so American, I'm going to look at it in one fashion. But when I get expanded by the people who understand who they are, and this guy, even this morning, I turned it on for a little bit, and he said, Iran plays the long game. They will try to destroy you with 1,000 paper cuts to keep you busy and to keep you exhausted and to keep you depleted. And you're going, see, that would be something I wouldn't think of and wouldn't know. And yet how these things work. And yet there are major things that happened. I mean, for Jordan, for those of you who aren't news watchers, for Jordan to also shoot down Iranian missiles and drones over their land is a huge step. And that wouldn't have happened without the Abraham Accord that was put in about 6 years ago. And those are the kinds of things you look at and you're going, God knows how to work things in the proper ways so that we can see his hand. I love watching some of those things. You know, they say they shot between 200 and 300 missiles and drones toward Israel. And basically about 1% made it through. And so you're just going, between the Iron Dome and the other parts of it. They've even got one, I don't know if you hear about it or not, but they've even got another defense force that they didn't employ yesterday called David's Sling. Isn't that interesting? Kill the giants. Guided missiles. And you just look at that and you're going, man, I love that. I just love to see God work. But I got to tell you, I even stopped. Sometimes if anybody watches, I have to reach down and get my iPad because actually this morning's message came out of last Sunday's worship when Mina was leading, and there was a song going on, and all of a sudden God gave me an inspiration out of one of the songs. And I don't even know which song it was, honestly. But all of a sudden, and so I had to pick up my iPad, I had to look up a scripture, had to put that down. I had two scriptures that I was supposed to look at. And then through this week, this whole message has been developed. And then this morning when I hear these songs, I'm just going, God, this is just amazing. Because we sang God is able, then we sang leaning, and my troubled soul, why so, you know, weighed down? Cast your burdens upon the Lord. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and you know all these things, and it there's a theme, and I want to give you a theme. In fact, I'm going to tell you the reason why this became special to me is because of one of the verses that I got last week in the worship service. I have a new revelation of something I've never seen before in Scripture ever. And I want to share that with you this morning because I believe there's something that God is stirring in this day for us to understand. And so if you would, I've got a lot of scripture, and it's going to be mostly that. I'm going to talk very little in between scripture, but just to Amos some. And so I'm calling this message the final word, okay? The final word. And underneath it, I have written, truth silences the other voices because truth prevails. Truth silences the other voices because truth prevails. In other words, truth will outlast the other voices. Other voices can threaten, other voices can cause anxiousness and concern and all that, but truth will be the lasting voice. And so, but turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read a number of scriptures and just make small comments in between and then take you on a bit of a journey that I believe will really help. Especially if you've got some pretty hard things on your horizon, one fashion or another, I would really ask you, just pay close attention this morning, okay? God wants to finish the work that he started in worship. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And I'm going to, each of these passages, I'm going to kind of walk through them. I'm not going to just read them. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Now, I want you to just think of that for a moment. Corruptible seed, at some point, is going to die. Incorruptible seed, never diminished, never dies. So we've got something living on the inside of us that doesn't need to change because it's constantly true. That's how we're born again, is by incorruptible seed. Okay? I know that we know this stuff, but sometimes we don't think about what we know, if that makes sense to you. We don't bring it to the front, so we don't really meditate on it, and we just kind of take some things for granted, but our confidence is in our understanding. It says, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by what? The word of God. And today, that's what we're going to talk about, the final word, okay? The incorruptible seed is the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, see, I know that we know that, but do we trust its faithfulness? Do we trust its longevity? Do we trust its forever in our lives? And that's what I want to speak to this morning. We have something inside of us. How many of you, you don't have to say anything, do anything, but how many of you, knowing that you were born again of incorruptible seed, have something in there that you know wasn't there before? That's who we are. And that has to be the bank account in my life, that I have something in me that was not there before, but it is now. I understand things I didn't know before, but I understand them now. I have a confidence that I didn't have before, but I have it now. And it's not because I am something. It's because there's something incorruptible on the inside of me. Psalm chapter 119. You don't even have to turn there if you don't want to, because it's only got about seven words in the verse, or eight words, something like that. You know, and you might have trouble finding it because that's that long chapter with 150 verses. And boy, you know, if you weren't good at math. Anyway, Psalm 119, 89. It says this. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, you might go, yeah. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But I want to ask you a question. If his word is forever settled in heaven, what's going to be the performance of that word? Let me help you with what I'm talking about. Anybody here know what they call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you know. What's it say right after that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So therefore, what he's trying to do is get the truth that is forever settled in heaven, forever settled on earth. If it's going to be forever settled on earth, where is it going to be forever settled? In the heart. Exactly. Jerry went. It's exactly right. You see, the earth is not the one that's going to receive his truth. It's those who are born of incorruptible seed that now that seed grows into something and it becomes forever settled in here. And this is part of that final word that I want you to see. The things that are settled in heaven, that means it's absolutely true and nothing can stand against it. Nothing can make it change. But until it comes and it's forever settled in us, it's only got part of the performance going on. Does that make sense to you? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I do need you to turn here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 19. Second Corinthians 1, start in verse 19. It should say something close to this, depending on your translation. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus or Silas and Timotheus, which is Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Now, this verse is going to be a bit of a punchline at the end, okay? So just, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. In other words, all we're doing is telling you what he has said, and what he has said is forever settled, and it's brought into you incorruptible seed. Okay? Tying it all together. And then he says, now he which establishes us or confirms us with you is in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So the one who has confirmed or established us and hath anointed us is God, who also sealed us or marked us and given the earnest or the down payment or the pledge of the Spirit in our hearts. In other words, he gives us this incorruptible seed. More and more, he shows us by revelation how it is revealed and how it works in our lives. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit that is the one who's going to take that and make its application in our life. And that is the mark, that is the power, and that is the pledge that God has put into us to say, see, I'm with you. I'm right there. I'm not, it's not like you have to guess. And you don't have to have this, oh, I hope. No, you've got the seal of the Spirit on the inside of you if you are born of the Spirit, and that's the mark in you that you are the child of God. And see, I see so much about identity today in the church, and I'm going to tell you, if we know the Word, we shouldn't struggle with our identity in Christ. We should not. We should be able to know with all assurance who we are and know how he deals with his children. He's not afraid to call us out and spank us. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourgeth. My mom taught me that by example. Everyone that would be a son. And you look at this and you're going, then what part of this should I not be able to figure out? If I know who he is and I know what he said, then I need to be able to look at my life and say, okay, God, then this is something I don't understand. But just because I don't understand, it doesn't make anything about you. I know who you are. All it is I lack understanding. And I'm not trying to make more out of it than that. We'll get there. For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us, confirms us in Christ and hath anointed us. I was in a meeting last night and I was just talking about that anointing. And in case you don't understand, Jesus came to this earth through the Holy Spirit and Mary. Okay? Everybody okay with that? Clear? You know it? And yet later on it talks about how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. And when did that happen? When he was down in the water of baptism. And the Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove, and the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Because right after that, if you're going to read the Matthew account, right after baptism, it says, "Then was Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." And then later on in that chapter, it says, "Then returned he in the power of the Spirit." And what did he do immediately? Started ministry. You see, there's something about having that initial presentation. And when I believe, and this is what I spoke last evening, I believe that every human on the face of the earth has something that God has anointed them for. They have a gift on the inside of them. But it's not activated until the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes and makes it alive. And that's why you have psychics who should be prophets. That's why you have other people with gifts that use them in the wrong way. But if they'd have the Holy Spirit walking with them, they'd use them in the right way. And the church would benefit and the world would benefit because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. They don't go away because people misuse them or mess them up. That's who they are. And that's who we are. But if we won't believe that because we just don't see something happening in our life, then we've got these issues and sometimes we'll start pointing fingers at heaven. He's going, "No, you don't understand." And so when we get established in him, I believe that just like Jesus did, Jesus went into the wilderness then to be tempted by the devil. And I believe that that demonstrates the work of sanctification. When you get born again, you're going to have a law change in there. You really don't have a much of a law change in the initial beginning. What you have is a sheriff change. And he starts pointing out all the stuff that's against the law that you've been participating in for a long time. But you got a new sheriff in town, and he begins to point things out. And what he wants to do is grow you up in him so that now the nature of Christ becomes the evidence of my life. But it's not natural to me, and so it's a process, and it's a gradual work. And that's what I believe the wilderness was to represent. But then when he conquered that by what? By the word of God, the incorruptible seed, and he spoke back to the enemy. Then he returned in the power of the Spirit, and then he had the ability to do the work that God had created for him to do. Does that make sense to you? These are the kinds of things that I think are principles of the kingdom, and this is why this revelation that I'm going to bring to you this morning, I believe, is a principle. It says that in him was, yes, that's a stated truth, and in him was amen, and that's a settled truth. Stated, settled. Yea just means it's true. Amen means it is. It's fulfilled. It's satisfied. It's done. And I'll speak to that in a little bit. What the difference is in our lives, we can know the truth of God, but it's until many times until it's activated by an experience with God, it stays in the yea. But when we walk through it and come through and watch him work, it becomes an amen. I saw it. I have evidence. It's a settled truth now, not just a stated truth. You with me? Turn to the book of Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. Start in verse 21. "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." We went from corruptible to incorruptible. Verse 22, "in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, hagios, and unblameable, and unreprovable. They can't hold anything against you in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Okay. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Grounded, you can look it up. It would mean you've made a foundation. Settled would be on that foundation, you've built on it. You now have the confidence to walk it out settled because you know the foundation. You know what the foundation is, the Word of God. Therefore, as Jesus is the chief cornerstone, his Word becomes the foundation of all that we are. We are grounded and settled in him. But the settlement part is being built into the purposes that he has established for our life. Now, I hope this makes sense to you. To me, this revelation becomes something that all of us can look at and then work at. There is so much in these places because I wrote some things down here. We can be circumstance responders. And that's kind of okay. But after a while, we've got to stop being circumstance responders because many times, and I know probably almost everybody in here, if not everybody, you can point to a time when you went through some hard things and you learned more about the character of God and your own weaknesses during that time than you did in any of the long times when you weren't facing hardship. We learn so much about who we are and who he is by going through hardships in our life. And that's part of that grounded and settled stuff because faith without experience is information. It's experience that makes it real in my life. And I got to learn how to believe for the experience before I go through the experience. And that's the process when he says the trial of your faith works patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Why? Because I went through that before. I've seen him come through before. And hope makes us unashamed. Because through that, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That experience has a great reward in our lives if we allow it, because it's actually going to work to the settling of truth and not just the stating of truth. Is that okay? Still there? Four of you?
Amen.
So, I believe that there are times when we will look back at our experiences and we won't see it as a trial. We'll see it as the mercy of God to show us who he is. But you got to go through it to see it. Because going into it, it's a trial. It's a hardship. It's a circumstance. But once we have gone through a number of circumstances with him, then it becomes the experience that makes us unashamed because I'm expecting him to show me and take me through. I've said it before a number of times. I think through is one of God's favorite words. We're the only ones who think we have to go through things. He said, no, I'll take you through. That's the beauty of who he is and knowing him. And none of us do it perfectly. Please know that. I certainly don't. We can also be emotion-based believers, not realizing that's a fickle voice. One of the things we have to stop and take stock of is how much we allow emotions to dictate to our faith instead of our faith dictate to our emotions. That's a huge hurdle for a lot of folks. But it is real. And emotions, they were God-given. Don't think that they're bad. But emotions speak to your mind with a loud voice sometimes. And your faith has to be equal in voice so that it doesn't be overtaken by emotion. And that's a learned experience. So you have to learn how to say, I know this is trouble right now. I know this looks bigger than probably what it actually is, but I'm going to settle myself in the Word of God until I actually find the truth of God for this circumstance and not be carried away by all the emotion that comes to my mind when this thing is going on. I mean, more and more, we're going to encounter things that aren't going to be pleasing. I mean, you look at the world around us right now, you can get caught up in emotion pretty quick. There's a lot of anger out there. When I see some videos of road rage, I'm glad I live in Middlebury. I'm serious. Some of these people are crazy. But see, it's all being ramped up. It's all got these ideas of this, and pretty soon emotion is just right on the edge, and all it takes is a tripping point, and boom, here we are. We can also be people observer followers. In other words, I might not want to work out my own stuff, and so I fasten my eyes on some other people who I think have some things together, and pretty soon I become, in a sense, a follower of certain people or what we think would be that way. And the only problem is, well, not the only problem, but one of the problems is they may fail or they may move. And then what? We dare not. See, our grounding can't be in emotions. It can't be in circumstances. It can't be in other people. We have to have our foundation set in the Word of God, and then anything can be built on that, and God will expose what can be built on it and what shouldn't be built on it. But the foundation has to be there, and that's the Word of God in our lives. So I just encourage you this morning, as we walk through some of these things, I just look at how important it is. And maybe you hear this and you say, well, that's easy for you to say. I'm telling you, without the foundation of the Word of God in our lives, we will absolutely be blown away at certain times and will be aimless at certain times. But when you can know for sure that the Word of God speaks to who you are and what you are, I will tell you, sometimes that's all you have in your circumstance. I am not forsaken by God. I am not all alone anywhere. I am not going to be saying that there must be something wrong in my life. I know what's in my life. And so therefore, I am going to stand in the confidence that God has given me that this is a season of life, and I don't know why I'm facing this, but the one thing I'm not going to do is doubt that I'm His and He is mine. Amen. And that's where we have to live as Christians. It's going to get darker, folks. It's promised. I look at this, the anti-Semitism all around the world right now. You do realize that's what's going to bring the Antichrist at some point. And for all of you worriers, I'll just give you something to worry about. That way you can at least feed your worries and then take them to the Lord. The destabilization of this nation creates chaos all around the world. And all you have to do is take this nation into such deep destabilization, and it will change the course of the world. And if you think we have chaos or anarchy now, just watch. Because the enemy loves to pounce in days of weakness. He's not going to come against strength. He's going to look for areas of weakness in your own life, in my life. He's not looking for my strength. He's looking for my weakness. And so as things are put out there and he sees how things are going right now, you don't think that he's got certain governments in his back pocket that he is working and using to do things to destabilize the world and make the United States look like it should be at this war and this war and this war and this war. And so that therefore we get used up and we get depleted in all of our own stuff. Plus we have every opinion in the world, probably in Middlebury. Let alone big cities. I mean, we're coming up to election. You can just walk, go down the street and see that we don't all agree. Tell it by the yard signs. And we live in a very conservative area. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is an awesome chapter. One of the reasons why many believe that Hebrews is written by the Apostle Paul is because of some of the things spoken even in this chapter. Because it says that you have helped me when I was in my bonds, that you ministered to me when I was in my bondage or in prison. Some of them say it's not his writing style, so they don't think. I'll say this. The guy who visited him probably most often was a good writer. So maybe he helped him. Do you know who that was? He wrote a couple books of the Bible. It's Luke. You find that Luke visited Paul in prison. If you ever want to see a reasonably historical sound movie written about, you know, it's just called The Apostle Paul. It's really good, and it talks about what he goes through and all those kind of things. I have to think about some of these things because Hebrews chapter 10, he's talking to people about what they are going through for the sake of the gospel and how it's going to be hard, and it's promised that it's going to be hard, and this is first century. What's it going to be later on? Perilous times will come. That's what he wrote to Timothy. But in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 35, it says this. After you've gone through all the hardship stuff, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, or you could say it this way, it's going to earn you great wages. Recompense of reward is actually one word in Greek. But it would earn great reward or wages. For you have need of patience. If he says you have need of patience, what would that indicate? You're going to go through something. That's just what it says. Patience isn't something you pray for if you've got a sane mind. You'll learn it one way or the other because he knows what's good for us. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask for it. I think it's good that we would ask for it, but we better know what we're asking. Because patience has a perfect work, according to James. It's going to expose our hearts. For you have need of patience. After you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So in other words, it would seem to indicate there that doing the will of God is actually going to bring hardship into our life, and that part of what we're dealing with is we have to look at this grounded and settled thing. We have to take stock of the incorruptible seed. We have to realize that what he said in heaven needs to be planted deep in my heart so that I can have his word that is forever settled in heaven, settled in me, and together I can then become more like him than I ever was before. But I have to realize that there is some real grating and grinding in my life by the word of God being made real on the inside of me and coming against my natural mind that used to know the ways I wanted to run things. And so when we see this, it's going to have a great payoff, guys. Keep going, keep going. It's going to pay off. But just know this. It's not going to be easy nor pretty because you have need of patience that after you have done what he's asked you to do, you will receive the promise of what he said he would give you. For me, that to me is like the other passages of Scripture that say, there will be a reward. I'm trying to think of that right now, but what do you know that? It'll come. Train's coming. Be not weary in well-doing, right? Because what you're going to see is when, and don't quit, because afterwards there's a great reward coming, and it's worth it. But in the middle of the trial, sometimes we're going, boy, I don't know. I hear that a lot. I don't know. What choice do we have? So why don't we buck up and say, God, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. I'm going to throw one at you here. Find that book of Nehemiah in your Bibles, or if you have a device, it makes it much easier to find it. Nehemiah chapter 8. Most of you know the story of Nehemiah. He was the king's cupbearer and got the instruction from God that he was supposed to go build the walls of Jerusalem. And it was sad to him, and the king sent him on a journey, and he did build the wall. And they started inhabiting the city somewhat in this book, but this is a place in Nehemiah where they had been captives for a long time. And coming back to Jerusalem and seeing the decimated wall was hard on them. And they worked, and some of them had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand, because the enemies came after them while they were trying to build the wall. And then there was deception involved, and Nehemiah saw it coming, got the wall mostly put up, but the people were so excited. And they found the book of the law. And they said, could we just gather in the city? And could we get Ezra to read the book? And so they did something. They built a pulpit. That's what it says. They built a pulpit. So, because there were so many people amassed around, they built a pulpit so that he could stand up and people could see him as he read from the law. And it says when he began to read, it's in this chapter, that they all just stood up. You know what caused them to stand up? It had been the dearth, the obvious part that was missing of the Word of God. They knew they were God's people, but they really hadn't functioned as God's people, and now they were back into a segregated area where only they could be. And when Ezra started reading, they all just stood up. And it says right before these verses, we're going to start in verse 6. But it says right before that, that he started in the morning and he read till midday. Doesn't say they sat down. Doesn't say they took a break. It says he read from the book until midday. And then in verse 6 it says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered. And all the people answered. And all the people answered. Amen. Isn't it twice? Amen. Try it again. Amen. The reason I say that is you, in Jewish languages, if it's repeated, it's strengthened. And so here are people who longed for their own land again and longed for the things that would represent. But the word of the Lord, which was only at that time to them, was read to them again. And he read from morning until midday. And when he probably needed a drink, he stopped. And all the people, amen, amen. Oh, that God's people would do that today. But see, this is where I want to take you. Listen to what it says. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Humility, brokenness. Why? Circumstance. Through circumstance, the law to them was actually comfort. Because in the law was actually their promises. They were the peculiar people. They were the only ones on the earth who had the law of God. Today, we are those who have the law of God written on our hearts, if we have laid the foundation. If the word of God dwells in us richly by faith. I want you to see in Nehemiah a little bit of prophecy. You see those words, amen? What's peculiar about those words among the other words on the page? Capitalized. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. This was the verse that came in the worship service last Sunday. Had no idea where it was going to go. But to me, it has opened up a revelation to me. And whether you see it or not, maybe it's just personal, but it's very real to me. Revelation chapter 3, I think most of you know that these are the letters to the churches. And if we start in verse 14, you're going to see which church it's to. And it says this, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen." Amen has a name. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Let me help you a little bit. You know him as the faithful and true witness if you know the book of Revelation, because he's going to come back and he is called faithful and true. It's written on his thigh, faithful and true. But then it says, the beginning of the creation of God. That doesn't mean God created him. It means that he was the beginning of creation. That word beginning is arche. It means the first of it, or the overarching person of it, or something in that fashion. And so he was the one that was entrusted with all the creation. He was the beginning of the creation of God. He was the one until it was said it wasn't created. He was always the word of God. He was the yes. But let me just tweak your mind just a little bit, if you'll allow me. I believe when he on the cross said, "It is finished," he became the Amen. It was spoken as a yea. In him, it's yea. But now in him, it's Amen. Because nothing can corrupt that plan now. Nothing can speak against it. It is forever settled. And what Jesus wants us to become is he wants us to know the promises of God, because we get them in the yea, but it's in the circumstances of our life that it becomes the amen, where it's settled in me and I don't question anymore. I trust him with my circumstances, no matter how hard it is. Why? Because he told me he would never leave me, but now I know he will never leave me. He told me he would give me truth, and now I know that he has given me truth. I didn't know how he was going to bring me through, but now he has brought me through. And now, instead of him just being my yay, he's also my amen, and it is settled in my heart. Amen. See, that's what I see in this, and that's why last week even this morning when Joey was leading worship, I'm just picking it up, writing a few more things, putting it down. Picking it up, writing a couple more things, putting it down. Why? Because revelation is the settling of the amen. You can't have something not revealed to you and settle it. You're back in the ground stage. It can be a foundation and you're hoping that your foundation will hold the building. But when that is settled in you and you have come to the place where you're going, "I will trust him like Job did. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know that I shall stand with him in the last day. And though skin worms destroy this flesh, yet in my flesh I will see God." This is the part that I look at and say, church, if we can be something, we've got to get this settledness in our hearts, because we're going to see things shake. It says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Well, I will tell you this, settled cannot be shaken. Yea can be shaken. settled cannot be shaken. Amen will not be shaken. And he wants to become the amen. And I look at that verse and I'm going, how come I never saw, I've read this 100 times before. How come I never saw that he's the amen? And the amen, I know what amen means. In fact, even amen in the New Testament is from the amen of the Old Testament. It's a Hebrew term. Amen means finished, done. So be it. And that's the part where, for us, years and years ago, soon after I started ministry, there were things I'm going, God, in my study, I'm seeing things that I was taught that I can no longer uphold. Little things, not major things. But by study, things come up in my mind, and I'm going, what they said wasn't the whole truth. And I'm going to have to learn how to lead on your truth. I said, God, I'm going to have to ask you questions. Man, he spoke to me. He said, I've never been afraid of anybody's questions. I'm the truth. And you're going, then why do I mess around with it so much? Why do I let it foster hardship inside me? Why do I get anxious about something? Because I'm not settled in certain areas to where, oh, something could be taken from me. Okay, so who do I trust? Settled means I trust. It is done, and it is amen. And the amen was a purchase. I mean, can you see this? Oh, in fact, let me just show you something. Go back with me to the 1 Corinthians passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is what convinced me. We read this passage a while back. I don't need to read it. Look in verse 20. What's peculiar about amen in that chapter? Again, capitalized. It's a proper name. It's the amen. These guys knew that by revelation. I think that Ezra might even have known, and as he read the word, the people were going, amen, amen. That's our God. That's our God. It's settled. The law has settled, and we are his people by the law. And I look at that, and I'm going, God, your perfect plan brings the amen into the hearts of your people if we'll look at it. Now, look, you could poo-poo that all the day long. It's okay. I don't mind. But Revelation chapter 3 there, verse 14, has settled my heart that the amen has been going through. And so when I look at all of, you know, the epistles in the New Testament, almost all of them. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And the peace of God, which will rule you, be with you all. Amen. And you just look at their sign off with, that's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it is. And what is it? All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen. And that's why we don't preach ourselves. We preach him because he is the amen in our life. And the process of sanctification is taking him out of the yea and putting him into the amen. Did you get that? See, that's the part, yeah. That's the part that I love is when you look at this, you're going, why is it so natural for us? I mean, did you have to go to school to learn to say amen with somebody that was really preaching it out there? No, there's something on the inside of us that when we get it, we go, amen, amen. And I wish you'd do that a little bit more. Because the word of the Lord demands an amen. Why? Because that's what he paid for. He is the amen of everything. It's finished in him. And when it's finished, amen. I look at it this way. His death on the cross was the yes, I'll do it. But boy, when that stone was rolling away, he came out. I think Jesus went to the heart of the earth and he said, anybody want to go with me? And there was a chorus of one word down there. Amen. We're out of here. We're out of here. Yeah, I have the keys now. Can't hold you any longer. Amen. Amen. Let's get out of here. Where are we going? Home. Amen. Amen. And see, that's the kind of stuff that when you get the revelation, all revelation does is give you more confidence. And if we who are in this earth would live in the amen, our confidence would not be shaken. Circumstances can come, sudden fear can come, but immediately the amen is going to come back through the voice of the Spirit to say, but I've got this. I'll take you through. I am the incorruptible seed. I'm going to bring the word of God from heaven, which is forever settled, and I'll bring it to you in the earth and let it be forever settled in you. And when you have this word on the inside of you, enemy, get out of my way. I know the amen. He is the finished word. He is the final word. And his word is amen. Zach, you get that this morning? Yes. Baby, we're going to sing a song. It's an old familiar song. But this morning as I was finishing up, I'm going, this is just, I just want it simple. I just want us to say, God, my yea says I trust you, but my amen knows I trust you. And so when we come into this, the difference between the yea and the amen is trust. It's forever settled in heaven. It's just not everything's forever settled in my heart yet. So God, you're going to show me how, right? Let's stand together. I want to lead you in this song. Felt it on my heart this morning. I don't want you to sing a hymn. I want you to sing to him. I want you to pay attention to the words. And you who are born of incorruptible seed, this is the natural outflow of your heart. So sweet to trust in Jesus, because I can't trust myself. Just to take him at his word. Amen. Just to rest upon his promise. Amen. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Amen. That's the beauty of this. And so we're going to sing three verses of this song. But pay attention to the words. Let it become your amen this morning, okay? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. You like that? Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus,
grace to trust him more.
This last verse, you know, this is probably the capstone of those who have been born of incorruptible seed. Because you'll name the promise, and it just becomes more precious all the time.
And I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end.
Sing it out to him.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
He was the Word. Now he's the Amen. We may know him as the Yes, his mission and why he sent the Holy Spirit was to make him the Amen. So I'm just going to ask something this morning. Is there somebody here this morning who says, I need to make him the yes of my life, because now I've got something burning on the inside of me and I've got to get some things settled in my heart? If that's you this morning, if there's something that the Spirit of God, maybe you don't even recognize it's him, there's something on the inside of you that's just going, oh, 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 I want to talk to you. I want you to come right down here. I want you to come now. Don't turn it off. He wants to make his presence known to you. He wants to forever dig the foundation, build the foundation, and then watch what will happen in your life. Maybe you knew him at one time and you left it go, but now you want to be reconciled again. Let's make this that day. Hallelujah. Who's going to come and stand here? Can I get one of you ladies to come? Others to come? And if you're somebody else, so stand over here also. And if there's others, keep coming. If you want prayer, if you want somebody to pray with you, stand separate of the others, okay? If you're coming to pray, pray together. You want things settled? I mean, it's not a black mark against you that things aren't settled in your life. But what he wants to know is, are you committed to letting him be the Amen? Are we willing to, I surrender. We won't sing that, baby. You keep playing. But we sang it, see? What that means is, I want him to become my Amen, because I don't want to have to figure it out myself. Awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Oh, for grace to trust. Let's just sing that chorus one more time. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, oh precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, the big deal for every one of these that have come and for all of us is just saying, God, I don't know. I can't figure it out. But I'm thankful that You know and You can minister Your life to me. Let me pray with you all. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name of the Amen, the One who settled it all, the One who finished the work, the One who made it all happen. God, in this day, we ask, oh God, take us from the side of just the yay. And God, help us to walk into the Amen. Let us have it forever settled in us the way it's forever settled in heaven. Let us believe that the corruptible seed is over and the incorruptible seed is living on the inside of us. That Your word is made perfect in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. God, we trust You. Help us to trust You more. God, we believe. Help our unbelief. Help us to walk out of the camp of the yes and bring us into the camp of the amen. And we're going to believe You. We're going to love You. And we're going to worship You with loud amens because You are the finished work. And we glorify Your name in all of it, oh God. Thank You for Your mercy. But thank You for the amen that lives inside of me. And we bless You for it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One more time. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, pray. Just Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Hallelujah. Can you just do a couple shouts? Yes. I was thinking more in the line of amen. 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 You know what that... Have any of you ever seen the movie Braveheart? Would you admit it? He yells, freedom! Jesus says, amen! Because that's the name of freedom to the spirit man. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. May you go out with an amen in your heart.